The Daily Office Readings for Thursday.
From Proper 22, After Pentecost.
Psalm 131. Psalm 31 is an act of humble submission to God's will and guidance, a song of trust. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. The word of the Lord. A reading from the book of Micah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Micah was a younger contemporary of Isaiah. The prosperous half-century of peace enjoyed by the northern kingdom of Israel was ended by the death of Jeroboam and the westward advance of the Assyrian Empire. In 731 B.C., the fall of Damascus marked the end of Syria's freedom. A decade later brought the same fate to Israel and its capital at Samaria. Although the kingdom of Judah was spared, Judah was left a weak vassal state. Micah was neither of noble descent nor a native of the capital city. He came from the common people, being a citizen of the small village of Moresheth in the Judean foothills southwest of Jerusalem. Micah looked upon the corruption and pretension of the capital through different eyes. Micah prophesied the fall of Jerusalem, for which he is remembered. He stands solidly with Amos, Hosea, and Isaiah as fierce champions of pure worship of the Lord, champions of social justice, and he shares with them both the word of judgment against God's own people and the promise of divine forgiveness and hope in the future. Chapter 3 speaks of the avariciousness and irresponsibility of Israel's rulers. Micah uses words from the butcher shop. He says the mercenary prophets and seers who sold their solemn offices will be cut off from God, who is the only source of true revelation. And I said, listen, you heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel. Should you not know justice, you who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin off my people and the flesh off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin off them, break their bones into pieces and chop them up like meat in a kettle, like flesh in a cauldron? Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time, because they have acted wickedly. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against those who put nothing into their mouths. Therefore it shall be night to you without vision, and darkness to you without revelation. The sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. The parable of the woman who was a sinner. Houses seem to have been open, making it easier for intrusions of this sort to occur. The woman in the story may have just intended to anoint Jesus' head as a sign of regard instead of as some kind of personal grooming. Now, Jesus would have been reclining at the table, and his feet would have been stretched out on the couch beside him, and hence the woman could easily approach him and anoint his feet, in contrast to the way we dine now with her feet on the ground, sitting in a chair. The parable concludes that the woman knows the meaning of forgiveness, but the honored host does not. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him. She is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of the Lord.